And musicians, we appreciate this song service. If you would like to read God's word as I read it aloud this morning, open your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. I think that it's not only good to listen as I read these verses of Scripture, but it's actually good for you to see them for yourself and to read along in God's Word, and then you'll know that I'm reading it as it should be, at least if you have a King James Version of the Bible. All right, in the Gospel of John chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 35. And I'll read through verse 44. And I'm not reading all of this conversation that Jesus has with these people that were gathered around him in that particular day. But I'm starting in the middle of the conversation to get to the point that I want to bring to you this morning. He was talking to his fellow countrymen that we call the Jews. And he was teaching them some things that they should have already known, because it is taught in the Old Testament scriptures as well as here in the New Testament. In verse 35 it says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I think you can see from these scriptures that we have read, you can see that there were many people in the days of Christ who rejected him as being the Christ. Yeah. As was stated here by them after he had made his statement to them. Now, the problem that they had was not recognizing what the Old Testament scriptures had taught them of how the Messiah, our Christ, should come. They did not understand the very statement that God made to Adam and Eve when he said, "The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent." That should have let them know that the Christ would come being born of a human being, not just coming directly from heaven manifested as maybe an angel of God would be. But what I want you to notice in these verses that I've read to you, that there is a great teaching that you and I need to recognize. Because if we cannot recognize this teaching, we will have the wrong idea of what Christ is and how we come to him as our Savior. In our present time, this teaching is almost lost in our churches. It is not taught in most of the Christian churches, or what is called Christian churches, of our modern time. But what I think personally is even worse is that it is not taught by Baptist churches that held this teaching to be dear through many, many centuries. It is the teaching of the condition of humanity. And that condition is total depravity. You do not find the term total depravity in the Bible. But you do find the teaching. It is taught in several different places in God's Word. But we will just deal with the text that we read to you this morning. I started reading in the 35th verse of this sixth chapter, where Jesus told these people that he was the bread of life that came down from heaven. Then when we go on to verse 37, he said to them, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast him out." Jesus lets us know here just who will be coming to him for salvation. It is those that the Father has given to him to be his people. He assured us that all of these, that he would not lose any of them, but he would raise them up at the last day. Now you will notice that some of these Jews did not believe that he was the Christ because they wanted him to perform a miracle for them, which had happened to the Israelites. And that was to send bread down from heaven. They did not want a miracle of healing the sick. He had already done that. They wanted a miracle like was performed in the time of Moses when he was leading the people to the promised land from Egypt. When they asked him to do this, he told them that he was the bread that had come down from heaven. So they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I came down from heaven'?" At this point, Jesus told them why they had not come believing that he was the Christ. It was because no man, no person can come except the Father, which had sent him, draw them. Notice that Jesus did not say that no man may come. Now, a lot of times I don't use good English grammar. And I've noticed some of you practice the same thing. I say can when I should say may, or vice versa. But the Lord don't make this mistake. He didn't say that no man may come, which means having permission. But what he said is no man can come, which means he doesn't have the ability to do so. Now, I use this term total depravity here because it describes what the Lord is teaching. Total means the entire amount, while depravity means to be depraved or marked by corruption or evil. Now, when we put this together, we see that all humanity has a corrupt and evil character. That includes me and you. We have this to the extent of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 11. He states that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That kind of concludes everybody, doesn't it? He goes on to say, there is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after God. what he is telling us here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that in our natural human condition, we are not righteous, not any of us. We don't understand even our condition or what God can do for us and will do for us, because we don't seek after him. Not any of us, he said. Why are we in this condition? What caused it? In Romans chapter 5, it tells us that it was by one man. His name was Adam. And he disobeyed God and became the nature of evil. Therefore, he took on this depraved nature. And it is seen in his actions. He did not go to God after he sinned, but he ran away from him. Now, the right thing for Adam to have done when he heard God coming in the garden was to go to God and beg for mercy, and he would have received it. But he didn't do that. But he tried to run away from him and hide. This was because of his nature. Now you may think that Adam deserved this because of what he did in disobeying God. But you don't think you deserve it. Well, you probably think that you should not be punished for his sin. And I assure you that you are not punished for Adam's sin. You never will be. But if you leave this world without believing in Jesus Christ and that he died for you, you will be punished for yourself being a sinner. Adam could no more help passing his nature on to you than you can help passing your nature on to your descendants. Some people say, I don't think we are totally depraved. I believe man can decide on his own whether or not he wants to believe in Christ as his Savior. If he could, if that were true, I feel sure that God would give them that privilege. But according to what Jesus said, he can't believe unless the Father first draws him. That's not my words. That's the Lord's words. Now, what I want to show you this morning is what our condition is as humans until Christ saves us. We inherited the nature from Adam. It is ours. Like I said, we cannot help passing our nature on to others. You look at the animal world. or any other thing of God's creation, but we'll use the animals. A dog barks because he's a dog. He don't bark to become a dog. He barks because he is one. That was the nature of his ancestors. We do what we do. We disobey God. We do things that are wrong because of our nature. And these things cannot be overlooked by a righteous God. I want you to notice some things that we lost when our nature changed through Adam. We lost our affections for God. We have become lovers of darkness and even haters of God. Darkness represents things of evil. We can see through all the ages before us that the natural trend of man is to go after the things that are evil. And through a process, it even invades the ranks of those that profess to be children of God. Light represents God and the things that are good. But the world from Adam's sin on down have in essence hated God and the things that he represents. When he sent his son into the world, people hated him. Yet he had done nothing but good. Their nature could not stand to be in the presence of one who knew no sin. They hated him because he was God and because he took a stand against evil. This is why the world still hates his name. This is what drives the atheist to battle against God, is because he is light and is good, and they love darkness and evil. Also, man has lost his spiritual knowledge. In the beginning, when God created the first man and first woman, they had a great knowledge of God. They fellowshiped with him daily. He walked in the Garden of Eden with them. But then after their nature changed, things were different. We notice that the first sinner, Adam, immediately tried to hide from God. Now you would think that the one who had been a perfect man before he sinned would know that he could not hide from an all-knowing God. It just can't be done. But this is what depravity does to us. Now we become guilty ourselves, even with the knowledge that we have gained through God's word. We know that God is all-knowing, We know that he knows our heart. We know all of these things, yet we still try to think we can fool God into doing things that he wouldn't want to do. We'll even ask him to do it. That's because of our nature. We even think God is not looking down upon us and know what's going on. We think he believes the same old excuses that our fellow humans believe. We can't fool God. God is not mocked. He knows what we're doing. Man lost his spiritual knowledge of God to the extent that he cannot know God unless Christ reveals it to him. Listen to a scripture in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 27. It says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." This is Jesus speaking. "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." I hope you got that. I hope you understood what Jesus is saying to us. We can't even know the Father unless he reveals the Father to us. And we can't know the Son unless the Father reveals the Son to us. Man doesn't want to know God, and even if he did, he couldn't unless one of these revealed him. Jesus said to some people in John chapter 8, verse 19, "Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." Since man has no spiritual knowledge, he has no way of reasoning anything about God. And whatever he does reason will probably be wrong. The things concerning God has no meaning to the person that doesn't know Christ. So they go their way saying peace in their heart, only to come one day to sudden destruction. Also, man's will to come to God was lost. Jesus said in John 5:40, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." He said, you won't do it. God has not set up a barrier to keep man from coming to him. But the barrier is set up in the heart of man because of his sinful condition. Over and over, the Bible tells us, whosoever will, let him come. God has set no barrier to keep any person away from him. The barrier is in the heart of us as humans. As I pointed out to you earlier in our text, Jesus said, "No man can come to me," which means that he doesn't have the ability to come until the Father draws him. Then we also lost our ability to believe. I know that some will say that man does have the ability to believe in Christ. And all that they have to do is to put their faith in Christ and just believe in Him. Well, that sounds good. The only problem with it is he don't have any faith.
That's right. Amen.
If all people had faith, then truly we could say to them, put your faith in Jesus. But listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. All men have not faith. We know and are aware that faith is a gift of God. As Paul told us in his letter to the Ephesian church. Also involved in believing is repentance. You can't believe without repenting, and you can't repent without believing. They are tied that close together. But even repentance must come from God. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. When God was ready to send the gospel to the Gentiles, he prepared the Apostle Peter by giving him a vision of unclean meats coming down out of heaven. And he told Peter, to eat of these unclean meats. When Peter refused and called them unclean, God said to him, what God has cleansed, let no man call unclean. By this, the Apostle Peter knew that it was all right to go to the Gentiles with the gospel of Christ. He then explained this to the other apostles in Jerusalem. And they said in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. God granted them repentance. Now, this teaching of man's inability to come to God should not hinder anyone from coming to Christ, but should encourage them to come. If you believe today, and you know whether or not you do, I don't. I only know my heart. You know yours. If you believe today that Christ died on the cross for your sins, then you can rejoice because God is calling you. The Father is drawing you. And you can be assured that it's real. It should assure you that your salvation is a real thing. The very fact that you desire to come to Christ is a testimony to you that God is calling you. This is what Jesus meant. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draws him. If he draws you, if you can believe that he died on the cross for your sins, then he wants you to come to him by faith, believing this. Shall we stand? I'm going to ask our song leader and our musicians to come this morning. Our church always offers them in